It is our Clinton Area Show Bowl Theater program. Matthew Teague Miller with us, and a couple of the stars of the upcoming production and a couple of stars of the previous production. We'll talk a little bit about that. Matthew, I know we always kind of throw different topics out there. This one, you know, and of course, I must say, this year the show, I don't know who's in charge, the showboat has maybe done a little different job of the social media aspect.
Oh,
I noticed that, and seeing Instagram and things like that, maybe seeing people get a little different backstage mm-hmm. look at that.
Yeah.
And if you follow that much, I know you're busy. Do you
Of course, I follow it. And the person in charge, let's give credit where credit is due. She is a bright, talented, beautiful,
I know where this is going.
Powerful woman, wife. Jamie has been in charge of it the last couple of years, and I think it's gotten better and better with each year. And this year, especially with the Instagram takeovers and stuff, the cast is bought into that, and they've been having fun with backstage questions and things like that. It's a great inside look to the showboat and what we do.
Also, some of the things there, and this is a topic we hadn't prepared for, so but I know you can handle all these things.
Of course I can.
Take it through. This brings up, because some people see some things, you show some of the rehearsal things that
sure.
people don't always
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
Take us through, say, for example, a couple weeks ago you started the rehearsals for Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing that happens?
For me, and not...
You're not the director of this show, are you?
I directed Cabaret.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's the first thing that happens when it comes time... rehearsal. What is the first rehearsal?
The first rehearsal for me and most directors is sitting around the table and reading the script together so that you can hear the words that are on the page aloud, spoken by the actors that are going to be doing them in the show. What I like to do immediately following that is a conversation about the play and what our production is going to feel like and look like. Whenever possible, we'll have the designers come into the room too and show pictures of the drawings of the costumes or the set so that we can all sort of, as a collective, begin to imagine what the final product is going to look like, this thing that we're going to create together. So that's the first rehearsal. And then from there, we usually go into music because it's difficult to stage the scenes or do much work until people know the music that they're going to be singing. By the end of the first day, we'll know most of the music and have read the script together and looked at the designs and stuff like that.
Then what happens?
Yeah, so from there, I'm a very accommodating director, so I tend to give my choreographers, if there's a lot of dance in a show, they'll get as much time as they need to focus on the dance. And if we need to start shaving time off of rehearsal, it usually comes in my staging rehearsal. So we usually start then, after music, we'll go into some of the big choreography numbers. And we did it chronologically. I mean, the biggest choreography number in the show is the opening. Mm-hmm. So that was their first rehearsal, Vilkommen, the famous number from Cabaret. So we did a couple of days of choreography, and we've got a new choreography space, a dance space mm-hmm. that we've been using this year, which has got mirrors and allowed us to really focus on the details. And then from there, I'll stage the show. And when I say stage, some people call it blocking. I like the term staging a little bit better. But it's basically the director and the actors figuring out where they're going to stand and when for each of the scenes. And my process of staging a show, some directors will show up with, and there's no right way to do this, so there's no judgment. I'm not putting any judgment on this. But some directors will show up with a bunch of X's and O's in their scripts and a lot of lines, like, you know, oh, someone's going to cross on this line, someone's going to cross on this line. I usually show up with some ideas and some notes, but then along with the actors sort of figure out what feels good to them. My theory is, the whole theatrical, the process of putting on a production of theater is a collaboration. So any time that we can make decisions together, I feel like the process actually moves much quicker because the actors have buy-in when a cross was motivated by something that they felt in the rehearsal, as opposed to me saying, cross on when you say, but why, Cliff?
Yeah,
right? Yeah. So from there, we'll start doing run-throughs. You know, I'll do what's called a stumble, which is like we're going to run the first act, but we'll stop and start as we need. And then once we've done that, we'll just run the whole show. And then, you know, the director gives what we call notes at the end of each run, which is basically constructive feedback about things that work and things that we want to try differently. And then we go into the tech process, which is run-throughs with costumes, lights, and scenery.
And then when it shows up for the audience, they don't know all that went on.
No. Well, hopefully
they shouldn't
not.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's the goal anyway. Yeah. Okay, Little Mermaid, 3 weeks. Did you get tired of the show?
Well, I didn't.
You didn't see every show?
I didn't see every show. But I love that show, and I love the movie. I was proud of the hard work that went in. That was a very big show that we put on our stage, and audiences loved it. The best part of that for me was when I did sit in the back and watch, was seeing all the little kids in the audience that were getting some of their first experiences of theater, professional theater at that, in our little showboat. You know, we had the magic moments with the bubbles and seeing them reach up and try to touch the bubbles and talk back to some of the actors sometimes. That's a really special thing. And standing on the, you know, by the at the exit at the end of each night and seeing these little boys and little girls that were dressed up in their Sunday best to go to professional theater and the smiles on their faces even after, you know, 2.5 hour show, that was really special. And I'm really proud that the showboat was able to do that.
Well, gosh, will we see shows like that next year?
Next season is still coming together. If you would like to be the first to know what we're going to be doing next season,
consider later in the show.
Consider buying tickets to the closing or the season announcement Follies on July 31st, only $10.
We'll get it out.
Yeah, you wish.
Tell us what you brought in today.
So I brought my Sally Bowles and my MC. This is Madison and Nick. You've seen them. They've been in everything we've done so far this season. They're going to both be in Oliver. They're both extraordinary in the show. And I'll let them tell a little bit more about themselves. Yes.
Madison, right?
Yes.
You were one of the Murr sisters.
I was one of the Murr sisters.
You have to ask this question. If you brought in one of the Murr sisters, we had to ask this question. How was it walking around in the Murr sisters costume?
I wish you could have seen us trying to get up the stairs to go onto the stage. There's like 4 steps, and we all are jumping. We had to like bunny rabbits. Like we were jumping up the stairs to get on stage, and it was tricky and really hard to get used to. Luckily, we had them pretty early on, those skirts, the tails. But so we got to rehearse in them a little bit. But it definitely took some getting used to, and I'm. I feel like I use my feet a lot. Like I don't keep my legs so tightly together like that. I sit like a dude a lot of the time. And it took a lot to get used to, but it was fun.
It was fun. A little extra effort there. Did you enjoy? Did you know the show much before
The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up listening to it. Actually, this is a cool full circle story. The first time I ever performed, I was 4 years old, and I sang it at my grandmother's birthday. I sang part of Your World.
Get out of here!
I know, isn't that cool? The first performance for me ever in front of, you know, friends and family, and yeah. So that show is very, very special to me. And I used to dress up as a Little Mermaid all the time. Like as a child, I was always a character. Like I had all these wigs and dress up outfits. Like I was literally born to do this. I knew it at a very young age. But Little Mermaid was always my favorite.
At 4, you wanted to be an actor.
Yes. Yeah. Always. There was no. That's everything I wanted to do. Yeah. Just always performing. Always had. Glitzy stuff on, and yeah.
And what about you? You were the seagull and the chef.
Yes, I was.
How'd you manage that to change a costume a couple of times?
That was very difficult because those numbers are right after each other. So getting out of my whole feather gear into this giant yellow beak on my face, having to wipe that off and put a big old black twirly mustache and a big chef's hat in a matter of like 2 minutes was a challenge every night, but it was also gratifying when I came out as the chef and all those kids screamed. They were like, ah,
and laughter. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun to do that role, those roles.
Now, Madison says she knew the show. Did you? Were you a Little Mermaid fan?
Yes, I am a Disney fanatic. I love almost every one of those movies growing up.
Tell them how many times you've been to Disney.
I've been to Disney World 16 times, which is
from New Jersey.
Jersey. It's like, you know, it's a trek, but I love it. My family loves it. It's a staple for our family. We love it a lot.
Imagine that she got started at an early age being theater. What about you?
Well, it's funny because I always say to my parents, who are, you know, tone deaf, but sorry, Mom, love you.
She may be listening and watching.
I know, right? And I said to them, I'm like, since they can't sing, I'm like, well, two negatives equal positive. And they put me in all these sports when I was a child. And all I would do was, like, in the baseball field, I would pirouette away, like, waiting for someone to hit the ball. One year they just decided to put me in a summer camp, and that was it for theater. I was, my first role was one of the members of the Lollipop Guild in The Wizard of Oz. And that was it. Caught the bug. Yeah.
And you're coming from where? A college?
Yeah, I'm coming from Wayne, New Jersey, but I go to school at University of Cincinnati, College Conservatory of Music, with my good friend Madison. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Miller is an alum.
Proud alum at that.
UC, go Bearcats!
Yeah.
Right. Talk to them too. Matthew, Cabaret.
Yeah.
Not a typical show. People are expecting the lighthearted, fun musicals such as The Mermaid, some of the other ones you've done. This show is different.
It is.
What drew you to do Cabaret for this type of show?
That's a great question. Every year I've been here, we've done at least one show that I would say challenges the audience. I think it's important to entertain with theater. I think it's important to do things that people can escape into and simply enjoy. And then with last season's production of Bridges of Madison County, when we did Next to Normal a couple years ago, I think it's important that at least one show is a little bit on the challenging side, that people have to grapple with issues or grapple with situations. And this year that production is Cabaret. I mean, we do have a parental advisory on it because of its adult content. And I mean, we're serious about it's not for kids. It really is for the grown-ups, and it's not going to be for everybody. The show, it's a masterpiece. I mean, it is a really incredible piece of theater. The way that it blends drama and really difficult issues, heavy themes, and at the same time has these wonderful, colorful dance numbers that are entertaining. It's a wonderful balance of both. It's provocative in many ways in terms of its adult content, but also in terms of its thought-provoking messages and material. It's a really powerful piece, and we've taken a slightly different take on it. We've looked at it through a different lens. I think it's relevant because we're living in an era right now where we don't talk to each other very much, and we are all using different things to escape from the world. Whether it's junk food or television or video games, you know, recreational drugs are at an all-time high, gambling. I mean, so many people have vices that they are using to distract themselves from this difficult world that people have forgotten how to talk to one another. And it's interesting to look at this historical piece through this contemporary lens because it's very similar to the world of the Kit Kat Club. And people are going into the Kit Kat Clubs of the Weimar Cabaret district of Germany while political discourse and depression is happening outside in the streets. I mean, it's an incredible thing to look at history through that lens, and so, you know, it feels like a very important show always, and it's cyclical. I mean, the show premiered in the 60s, and it was a time of political discourse, and people were using distractions to distract themselves from that discourse, and it meant something then, it means something different now, it meant something different in the 80s or the 90s or, you know, even the last 10 years ago. So it's that is what makes it such a masterpiece, is that regardless of the era in which you are performing this show, you can look at it slightly differently and experience something, experience history through a new and exciting way. Now, when I said that we took a different take on it, we've reimagined the show a little bit. I mean, if you look at Nick, he doesn't look like Joel Grey. He doesn't look like Alan Cummings.
No, I do not.
You know, and we've taken, our Kit Kat Club looks different than the two, you know, the two most famous versions of the show, I think. There's the original production, which did fine, but it was really that movie that Bob Fosse directed with Liza and Joel Grey. It won all the Academy Awards. That's a famous production. The 1990s revival on Broadway with Alan Cummings looked very different, but was equally intriguing. Ours is yet another imagination of the show, and we've basically taken this line that the MC says in the opening, where he says, "Leave your troubles at the door. Everything in here is beautiful." You know, and we've taken that quite literally, as opposed to the ironic way that Alan Cummings said it in the 1990s. We're taking it literally, and the club is it's a high end cabaret club. I mean, it's still risque. It's still all of the things that those other productions were, but it really is an escape. It really is an overwhelming, vibrant, magical sort of place that you can leave your troubles at the door, which again is what the whole play is about. So I just talked a lot, but that's sort of what our production is.
Man, I said, Nick, what about doing this show? It goes back to what, the 1920s, 1930s. Mm-hmm. Does Matthew make you imagine that era? How do you manage that?
They're
pointing at, who wants to answer first?
Sure.
It's a different mindset.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think a lot of research went into it for me. I love history. I think all of that is fascinating, and it's a big reason why I love theater so much. But being in it, I think a lot of what helps is the set, of course, helps. Being, you know, we're in the Kit Kat Club, and you know, and costumes and hair and makeup and all that is very period, which, so being in that kind of atmosphere is very helpful and really drives us to be in that era, which is awesome. But no, it's fun. It's fascinating to be, you know, play something that, you know, just that has happened before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about it.
It's a thrilling experience, really. Reimagining this show the way Maddie talked about it just now, where everything is beautiful, and because in other productions they're all a little run down. It's like that's what it was, because you know the times in Germany that at that time were depression, all that stuff. But the way we're distracting is, I think, it's a marvelous contrast to the drama that is the rest of the play. It is really a play with music, because it's this incredibly emotional journey that we take with the main characters Cliff and Sally, but told by the MC through joyous numbers with dancing and singing that are just a distraction from the world outside. It's really awesome, and also it doesn't hurt that I'm in a bedazzled coat and a top hat. It's real fun. It's a lot of fun for me.
Is this the kind of show you wanted to do? Has this kind of been on your list of shows you want to do?
It's actually crazy. The first version I've ever seen of this was at my, I wasn't going to my high school yet, but it was at this high school that I was looking at to go to, and I saw it and I was like in love with it. And I never in my wildest dreams thought I was ever going to do it, especially play the MC. This is a role that it isn't really made for a man of my stature. You know, usually it's a very skinny, very lean person. I'm very much not that. And it's so exciting to do this incredible piece of theater. It really is. And I'm very excited for the audiences to see it.
Madison, what about you? Did you know much about the show? Or is it one you kind of had on your... Do all actors have a list of shows I want to be
in? Yes, they do. Yes, we all do. actually,
was this on your list?
This is actually one of my number... Like, I think my number one dream role. You know, we've got our top 10 probably, and it's definitely been high on my list because the extensive journey, emotional journey that she goes on. And, you know, so many wonderful, powerful women have played Sally Bowles before. You meet Liza Minnelli, and Judi Dench has played her, and even like modern day Emma Stone, and people that I really, really look up to and have seen, you know, throughout my life and in many different roles. But yeah, I've always wanted to play this role, and it's I'm so grateful to be here at the Showboat to do it. And I have a wonderful team, cast, and crew, and it's just been really a wonderful, wonderful experience.
How is it doing a show like this? As I mentioned, it's not the numbers really judge the theme is not happy and joyous.
Right.
You know, from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
How is that for you personally to do and to understand?
Yes,
in doing that.
Honestly, it's draining. It's a little draining. Especially these past couple of days, we've been doing the show twice a day, which is has been a little difficult. But yeah, it is difficult to put yourself in a world with that is so sad. It's very dark, and
very dark.
And to go through that journey is a challenge for sure. But I hope that I'm doing it truthfully and doing it justice, because I think it is a story that needs to be told and is relevant. And it's hard. It's challenging. But, you know, I do lots of things to pull myself out of it. I'm a big I preach meditation, and I go for lots of runs and do things to escape from that world and keep myself positive and happy. It's an honor to be playing this role and be a voice for Sally Bowles and anybody that can relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nick, what about you? Doing this role, is it difficult?
It's very difficult. I also, on the opposite end of the spectrum, she has a lot of the drama scenes. Most of my things are very joyous. I have a hand, the MC has a hand in telling the story through the lens of life is beautiful. But when you see the play side with Sally and the main other main character, Cliff, played by the wonderful Grant Reynolds, I wish he could be here. love him. And it's a different world. And the fact that I can distract and do these amazing, wonderful dance numbers, it's so fun. But at the same time, it's also a very important piece that... that has to be told, and the ending is really gonna, it's very, very,
we don't want to spoil
it. We don't want to spoil anything. We've
We're doing something different with the end that I think is powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah. It's a very powerful, moving story.
When you do this, is it difficult to think back to those times and understand what was going on?
No.
Or is it easy as you relate to today?
Oof.
You got the mic, Nick.
That's a difficult question to answer. Definitely doing the research of the time period for this show was very... I mean, it's heartbreaking to see how life was. And, you know, sometimes things haven't changed, but that's why this story is still relevant. And it really is an honor to speak for those people who lived those lives in the 1930s during the rise of a great power that really destroyed a lot of life.
Madison, what about you? What you said you were a big history buff.
Not a big history buff, yeah. But I think that this story is relevant now, and I think that I can't imagine being in that exact circumstance, you know, with just in that decade. But I think the research that we have put into it has helped us really understand, you know, and in classes in middle school and high school, I remember in eighth grade, we spent the entire year in my literature class reading about the Holocaust. And so that was, that has really helped me with this, and just, you know, we have Google now, which is you know, my best friend.
Best friend, yeah.
Which, yeah, so it's difficult because I wasn't, you know, we weren't there, and it's, I can't imagine what it was like to be in Germany, but we can try our best to put ourselves in those imaginary circumstances and
absolutely
and act it out truthfully. So
as Matthew knows, we pull out some odd questions once in a while. What was it like to, because you were rehearsing this show while you're doing Little Mermaid. And you both talked about how difficult that even the rehearsals were. How do you rehearse a show like this and then turn around and come out and do Little Mermaid with the...
Honestly, that was awesome. From going to rehearsals for this like crazy dramatic intense show to like going to Mermaid and be like, oh, like I just get to have so much fun on stage and just like kind of, you know, it's just, it's a fun, it's goofy, it's a, it was a big breath of fresh air. So it was like a good escape, and it was like what I was saying, like meditation and running, like Mermaid was that for me. It was
you could turn the switch and
get there. Absolutely. It was it's
what about you, you know, you,
I agree.
You were the comedic role and
It's fun to put on the to change more of the changing of hats in that you know, you go from one from a couple hours ago you were a mischievous fun exuberant ringmaster in the show, in a show that's very dramatic, and then you turn into a seagull, a man-sized seagull.
There was a great picture, a pair of pictures on our Instagram during one of the takeovers
where they had a
shot of Nick in his with his MC hat on, with the, you know, the typical MC pose, and then like the couple pictures later was him doing the exact same pose from behind, only dressed as a seagull. It was amazing.
It's a very very funny couple of pictures. I mean, we got through it with a lot of coffee, a lot of sleep. You know, we got to keep ourselves healthy because we work very very hard. It was a great breath of fresh air to always do that show. And I'm very excited to finally put Cabaret up. I'm very excited for opening tonight.
Are you both comfortable with the role? You should be opening night tonight.
We're ready for an audience.
They're both superb. I mean, this is a great show, and they're both really terrific in it.
Thank you.
We're just missing the last piece of the puzzle, which is the audience.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, you got dress rehearsal last night, did it?
Oh, yeah.
Last
knock on wood. Yeah. It was great. It was a great dress rehearsal. It was a smooth tech process. The design team and the tech team worked long and hard to make the process as smooth as possible. It's exactly what I'd hoped this production will be. And again, like Nick said, the only thing we're missing now are people to come and share it with. So
one thing before we get all done, we just some, maybe we'll call it slight changes for the Showboat Theater. Some new avenues.
Yeah, so this is really exciting.
On.
Yeah, and this is sort of the first public announcement of this. But this week, the board, the Clinton Area Showboat Theater Board, voted to transition to what's called an equity professional theater. Actors Equity Association is the Broadway Actors Union. And we are entering into a formal partnership with the Broadway Actors Union Equity so that we can bring even more equity actors onto the Clinton Area Showboat Theater stage. So the growth that you've been seeing over the course of several years, where we've been getting better and better with each season, will continue. With, you know, last year we had an equity actor in Bridges of Madison County, the guy that played Jamie Cordes, who played Robert in Bridges. You know, these are the people at the top of the profession, and by becoming an equity theater and becoming the only equity theater in the greater Quad Cities area, will really distinguish us and set us apart from everything else. I mean, this is an incredible step for us in the legacy of the Clinton Area Showboat Theater. And for next year is our 30th season. So for this to coincide with such a landmark year for us is really, I mean, it's a testament to all of the great work that all of the artistic directors and all of the actors and technicians that we've had over the last 29 years have done. And it is absolutely an exciting next step in our journey.
No, that mean your entire cast will be equity actors, or you just bring in
No, it
here and there.
It will allow us to bring in more. We'll still have a lot of the young professionals that we've been bringing in year after year, but it will allow us to hire more and more people from the union on our main stage.
What goes into that? What do you? Mm-hmm. I know there's some rules you have to comply with.
Sure. Well, we already run ourselves like an equity theater, frankly, because we so often have equity guest actors in our shows. We already have to play by these rules. So for us, it's not a major transition. It's just formalizing something that we're almost already doing. It's the logical. My board treasurer said it the best. He said this is the logical next step in continuing to up our game, and it really is going to audiences who have been enjoying our professionalism and the high end entertainment that we've been providing the Greater Clinton area for the last 29 years. They're going to see yet another step up and yet another moment of growth in our evolution as a professional company.
You know what shows next year we might see some
equity? You're a little stinker. I believe July 31st is the day that you'll know that for sure.
Matt, what about the rest of the season? We talk about cabaret. Yep. This runs for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So we've got. It doesn't end the season.
It doesn't. No, we've got two more main stage shows. Up next is Oliver. And we've done Oliver twice on the Showboat. The first time we did it was in 1991. It still stands as the highest selling show we've ever done in the history of the Showboat. Last year's Footloose came within a few tickets of it, but didn't quite pass it. And I will tell you, we've already sold out some of the performances of Oliver, and it's 2 weeks away. So that's one that it's a very popular musical. People just love it. It's one that people aren't going to want to wait to get tickets for. And then the final show of the season is the stage adaptation of Mitch Albom's book, Tuesdays with Maury. The book, Tuesdays with Maury, lived on the New York Times bestseller list for 2 years. That doesn't happen every day. This is an incredible piece of literature, and the transition that it makes to the stage is really, really powerful.
And both Viewer and Oliver?
Yes.
And
yes,
when
we
you
are.
Start, we talked about getting from Mermaid to Cabaret back to the Mercedes. What about Oliver? When do you start rehearsals for that?
Tomorrow morning.
We do?
Yes, we do. We got a big old music
one
rehearsal.
Day at a time.
All right. It sounded like she didn't know when you started.
Hashtag summertime is showboat time.
Yeah. Really. Follow those. Matthew, anything else we should know? Can I get your tickets?
Get your tickets soon. Our second of our TYA, our Theater Fang Audience shows, opens tomorrow. Dear Edwina, it's a really sweet little musical. Dear Edwina and Shrek perform in rotation throughout the summer, our two Theater for Young Audience shows. They're only $5 a pop. Check the schedule because because they are performing in rotation, you have to double check to see what's being performed when. But no, I mean, it's just it's another one for the history books for us. Everybody's loving what we're doing, and we're going to continue to build from here.
Well, Matthew, anything else? Tickets, Madison, Nick, good luck tonight.
Parental advisory, adult content. Parental advisory, adult content.
Is that difficult for you to do? Do you worry about your mom and dad coming to the show
Got to be honest, a little bit worried about my dad. I've got a little bit of booty action.
Uh-oh.
But it's okay. He'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm not worried.
It was an honest moment. That just happened.
Very honest.
Well, we thank both for coming in on our program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By the Nice Insurance Agency, our Nice the Second, your independent insurance agent, 1005 4th Street in Fulton. Online at niceinsurance.com.
Jessica Ehinger, CNBC.